Thank you for tuning in to the Harrison Clark Expedition Through the Bible on KEQX 89.7. The views, opinions, contents, or beliefs expressed on the Harrison Clark Expedition Through the Bible are the sole production of the Harrison Clark Expedition and its agents. The views, opinions, or beliefs expressed on this show may not be the same of KEQX or any of its agents. This show is brought to you by the Park Heights Church of Christ in Hamilton, Texas, the Patrick Street Church of Christ in Dublin, Texas, the Hillcrest Church of Christ in Stephenville, Texas, and the Bangs Church of Christ in Bangs, Texas.
Friends, we will welcome you to the Harrison Clark Expedition Through the Bible. My name is Kerry Clark, and of course, I have with me this evening Brother David Harris, and we want to say how much we appreciate you tuning in to our program each week. We do want to remind you that this is a live call-in talk show, and the number to call if you would like to participate is 254-445-2473. That's 254-445-2473. We also have email at keqx@rocketmail.com. I want to encourage you, if you have the opportunity, to open in your Bible to John chapter 3. John chapter 3, in just a moment, Brother David's going to read for us beginning in verse number 1. Before he actually does that, we want to just take a moment to let you know that there is a couple of meetings, and this is a gospel meetings that are going on in our area. Both of them actually begin next Sunday, May the 2nd. We have one at the 4th and Stewart congregation over in Brownwood. Have a man by the name of John Moore, an outstanding gospel preacher. And so if you're over in the Brownwood area, we encourage you to go to 4th and Stewart. I believe it starts their regular schedule on Sunday and then starts at 7 o'clock each evening, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. And also we encourage you to go to the meeting in DeLeon. They have Brother Richard Massey doing the preaching, and you may remember that Richard filled in for me just a couple of weeks ago on the radio program. And so same dates, May 2nd through 5th, so we want to encourage you to go and be a part of those gospel meetings if you have the opportunity. We also want to send out condolences to the family of Barry Christian's family. His father passed away, and his funeral is going to be tomorrow. Barry is a regular listener to our program, and we love and appreciate him very much. And so we want you to know, Barry and your family, that we are praying for you in the loss of your father. If you've been following along with us over the last, I guess it's been months now, David.
Yeah, several months.
We started a series of lessons, and what they are, we've called this Keys to Personal Growth. And we pointed out in the very beginning of this series that God wants each one of us to either be a mighty man or a mighty woman in His kingdom. And so this is what we're trying to do, is to give us these keys that will help us be the kind of people that God wants us to be. And the first key that we looked at was loyalty. And friends, if we are not loyal to God and to His Word, then really all the other things, it really doesn't matter. And so we must be loyal to God and to His Word. And then we talked about responsibility, that when God has given us certain responsibilities, then we have the obligation to fulfill those responsibilities that God has given to us. And then the third key that we looked at was courage. And friends, it takes courage to be a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
And then the fourth key was determination. And you remember that during the course of talking about determination, it so happened that we had the little incident over at Tarleton State University,
right,
with the play that they got started. And of course, we were just as determined to get it stopped as they were determined to let it go on. And we appreciate all the callers participating in that and all the people being involved. The devil's determined, David.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. And if we're going to be children of God, we've got to be more determined than the devil. And then we talked about initiative, how we've got to step out and take the initiative to accomplish the will of God. And then last week, Brother Terry Jackson filled in for David Harris. He was over in Bangs, Texas, and we began talking about orderliness. And I know that's a little bit of an unusual topic when you're talking about being the kind of person that God wants you to be. But friends, we pointed out God is orderly in everything he does.
Mm-hmm.
David, when God created the universe, it was a very orderly fashion.
Absolutely.
And so God is a God of order. And so if we're going to be his children and really accomplish those things that God wants us to accomplish, then we have to be orderly in our life. And we talked about last week how God has set certain order when it comes to worshiping him. And David, I know you weren't with us, but Terry and I talked about the fact that when it comes to worshiping God, God has outlined in the Bible, John chapter 4 and verse 24, Jesus said, God is a spirit. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And we pointed out, in spirit is sincerely, but in truth is according to the word of God.
Right.
According to what God said. And so, we pointed out in the course of that discussion that things must be orderly. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, he commands us, friends, to do everything, and this is talking about worship, decently and in order.
Right.
So we've got to be orderly in everything that we do. And this week, we're going to talk about orderliness when it comes to entering the kingdom of God. Friends, if you are going to enter the kingdom of God, you must do it in the way that God said, in the order that God said.
Right, and it's a very logical system that God has set forth for us.
Exactly. So, David, why don't you go ahead and okay. We'll read John chapter 3, beginning in verse 1, and I know okay. You've got some comments you want to add
right.
to it.
Well, first of all, I want to thank Terry Jackson for filling in for me for while I was gone, and for you, Kerry, for bringing us up to date. It's interesting, I wasn't here, but you were talking about the orderliness in worship. And the Old Testament ends, the very last verse of Nehemiah, which ends the actual Old Testament history,
right.
It ends with the proper orderliness of worship. And then the New Testament begins the very same way, proper orderliness of worship. And so
right.
It's very, very important to God. And for those of you who are listening, I would encourage you, please, to take a Bible if it is possible, if you're not driving down the highway. But if it's possible, take a Bible and look at John chapter 3. And I want to read there just a few verses, first five verses there. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that you do except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto you, except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Now, he is talking about the final step into entering into the kingdom of God.
Amen.
And what we're talking about here is getting into the church of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that he died and bled for. And so when he tells him that he can't get in there until he has been born again, or unless he has been born of the water and of the Spirit, he's talking about that act of obedience called baptism, Kerry.
That's right.
And we cannot be baptized in the proper way until certain things are known by us.
That's right.
And this kind of throws us, we've got to back up just a little bit. You cannot be born again unless you believe. And you cannot believe unless you hear the word of God, either preached to you or read through the book. Romans chapter 10 and verse 17 says, so then faith comes by hearing, that would be your belief, and hearing by the word of God. And so, Kerry, if an individual does not know, does not believe, does not have the faith, then there is absolutely no way that he can be born again
absolutely
without
not.
That faith.
Right.
Take, for instance, infant baptism. There's a doctrine out there, Kerry, and it's I guess it started in the Catholic Church. It is brought into several Protestant denominations. That's right. Where they baptize infants, and that actually does absolutely nothing. An infant cannot believe.
That's right.
Cannot understand what Jesus Christ and God the Father is all about. And so when people bring their children in or their infants in to be baptized without any kind of belief at all, it's an absolutely worthless exercise, fruitless exercise in religion.
Well, and David, you know, it's really forcing something on that little infant that they don't want in the first place, because, I've never witnessed it myself when an infant was baptized. I have watched it on the internet to watch some of these denominational services to see what they're doing, and I've seen them baptize these little babies, and the baby's just squalling and fighting and kicking, and they're not wanting to do it, you know. So you're not only do they not have any concept of what's going on, they're fighting it every step of the way.
Well, even if they did like it.
Yeah, that's right.
Even if they did like it, it would still be a fruitless exercise in religion, because there is absolutely no authority for it whatsoever. And I think here is the part, you know, we're talking about orderliness.
Right.
And here is where people get in trouble. When they neglect the authority of our Lord, they neglect the authority of the Scriptures, it's very precise what God wants us to do in order for us to enter into the kingdom. And by the way, until a person is a part of that kingdom, he cannot be saved.
That's exactly right. Friends, if you want to join us on this discussion about becoming a Christian or entering into the kingdom of God, the number to call is 254-445-2473. That's 254-445-2473. And as we've already mentioned, we also have access to email. If you want to send us an email, then send us an email at keqx@rocketmail.com. That's keqx@rocketmail.com. David, as we're saying, we have in our society, we've developed this idea where we reject the Word of God and we accept the teachings of men. I want to encourage everybody, and as David said a moment ago, I know some you may be driving down the highway and you can't open in your Bible, but if you want to listen to what Jesus said about this, turn with me to John chapter 8. John chapter 8. And listen to what Jesus said in John chapter 8 in verse 24. Listen to this, friends. Now where, and this is the point that David was making. An infant cannot believe. They can't understand. They don't have a concept of who God is or anything else. But listen to what Jesus said in John 8 and verse 24. I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins. For if you believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. Now, David, it's interesting. I use the King James Version, and the word he is italicized by the King James translators, indicating that there is no corresponding Greek word to that word he in the original Greek text. Now read that, friends, without the word he. Jesus said, except you believe, or if you believe not that I am, ye shall die in your sins. Of course, David, that reminds me when Moses was called by God from the burning bush, and you remember this in Exodus chapter 3 when Moses said, well, God, who am I going to tell people sent me?
Mm-hmm.
And in Exodus 14 and verse 3, or I'm sorry, Exodus 3 and verse 14. Yeah. I got them flipped around. Exodus 3 and verse 14. God said unto Moses, I am that I am. That's what you tell the children, the children of Israel. Now, Jesus said, except ye believe that I am. David, that is a statement of the divinity of Jesus Christ.
Absolutely.
And if we don't believe in the divinity of Jesus Christ, we can't go to heaven.
Exactly. You are absolutely right. And so many people miss that point.
Amen.
In Hebrews chapter 11 And verse number 6, it says, without faith, and that is belief, without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now, not only can not infants understand this, but grown adults cannot understand this outside of the Word of God.
That's right.
The only way that we know and the only way that we believe that God is God and Jesus is Jesus and the Holy Spirit is who he is through the Word of God. We cannot know this outside of the Word of God.
You know, Dave, it's interesting. I knew a gospel preacher who is now deceased, but he was at a meeting one time for a bunch of young people. And you know, sometimes people make just outlandishly ridiculous statements. And this guy stood up and said, he had a Bible in his hand, there was, you know, like 500 young people there, held up a Bible. He said, now, I don't know much that's in this book, but I know Jesus.
No way.
Well, this particular gospel preacher is kind of quiet and meek. He jumped up and said, tell me one thing you know about Jesus you didn't learn in that book.
Exactly. Exactly.
And like you said, you cannot, friends, tell me one thing that you know about Jesus that you don't learn in the Bible.
There
you can't do it.
No, there is nothing that you can know. There's nothing you can know about the Holy Spirit.
Right.
And you can rave and rant all you want about this feeling.
Yeah.
But that feeling is nothing unless the emotion that is attached to it came from the Word of God.
That's right.
Now, there's no doubt the Word of God has emotion attached to it.
Amen.
But it's not an emotion that is blind faith.
Right.
It is faith that comes from the knowledge of God.
That's
And that is how we know Jesus. And like he said here, we've got to have the faith. And by the way, in John chapter 8 and verse number 58, he says that again, that I am.
Right.
In John chapter 8 and verse 58, he says it in verse 24. He says it also in verse 58 and making reference to himself as deity.
Yes.
And the same I am that called Moses to go bring the children of Israel out of Egyptian bondage, Jesus Christ attaches that name to denote himself as God himself.
That's exactly right. Friends, if you want to join us in the discussion, and by the way, there is sometimes a thought that there is a difference between the kingdom of God and the church, and friends, very clearly in the Bible, the kingdom of God and the church are the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And David, there's a lot of people that say, well, give me the man without the plan. Well, you can't do it.
No.
Other people say, well, give me Christ, but not the church. You can't do it. And so if you want to join us in our discussion, the number to call is 254-445-2473. That's 254-445-2473. Send us an email at keqx@rocketmail.com. And David, it looks like we're up against our first break. And so, folks, we'll see you on the other side of the break.
I come to the garden alone.
The prophet Isaiah said, the people walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death upon them, a light has shined. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 2. Years later, centuries later, when the apostles began to preach concerning Christ's church, this same area saw many people become Christians, and we read that in Acts chapter 8. Indeed, the light of Christ's redemption shone brightly. The light of Christ makes a difference in your life. The darkness of sin, you can find the light of His forgiveness. In the darkness of ignorance, His wisdom illumines the way. In the darkness of trials and trouble, His presence dispels the blackness. Whatever darkness threatens to overshadow your life, let Jesus be the light who drives it away. Jesus is the light of the world. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes unto the Father but by me. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that disbelieves shall be condemned. Mark chapter 16 and verse 16. You are invited to come worship with us at the Hillcrest Church of Christ, where the light of Christ is taught. Bible class begins at 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning, with worship following at 10:30. Correspondence courses are also offered. Call us at 254-968-8167. Let us worship the Lord together in spirit and in truth.
As we tarry there.
Brethren, we have met to worship and adore the Lord.
The Pony Express was a colorful part of American history. It ran from St. Joseph, Missouri to Sacramento, California, about 1,900 miles. The trip was made in 10 days. 40 men, each riding 50 miles a day, sped along the trail on 500 of the best horses available. To conserve weight, clothing was light. Special lightweight saddles were used. The mail pouches were thin and light also. Letters were written on thin paper and postage was $10 an ounce. Yet each rider carried a full-size Bible. Presented to him when he joined the Pony Express, and he carried it with him on every trip. Oh, how we need Bible-toting and Bible-quoting Christians today. The Park Heights Church of Christ is committed to spreading the gospel to Central Texas and beyond by speaking the truth in love. Friends, we would like to invite you to visit our services. We have Bible classes for all ages Sunday mornings at 9:30. Our morning worship services begin at 10:25. Our evening services begin at 6 p.m. on Sunday. And we also have midweek Bible studies on Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. If you would like to contact us, please call 254-386-3953. We meet at 1300 East Boynton Street in Hamilton, and our mailing address is P.O. Box 107, Hamilton, Texas, 76531. You may also visit us on the web, www.parkheightscoc.com. We look forward to seeing you soon.
Welcome back to the Harrison Clark Expedition Through the Bible. I'm David Harris, and I'm here with my co-host, Kerry Clark, and we are talking about the orderliness. We're talking about the seven steps to spiritual growth, and we've covered all of them up until orderliness, and we've got this one and one more step help us in our spiritual growth. Now, what we're talking about tonight is orderliness in the kingdom, and orderliness in the kingdom will cover the worship, which was covered last week, but we're talking about the orderliness to be a part of the kingdom of God. And we read the passage just a moment ago in John chapter 3 and verse 3, where Jesus told Nicodemus, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot enter, he cannot see the kingdom of God." And then again in verse number 5, he says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, that except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." Now, we're talking about entering into the kingdom of God. Now, Jesus started with baptism here, but we well know that there are certain steps that must be taken before baptism can ever be handled. And we talked about just a moment ago at the last break how that infants cannot be baptized because they don't know. They don't know anything. They can't believe anything. They do not have a faith. And we are told in John chapter 8 and verse 24 that we, unless we believe that he is God, that he is Jesus, that we cannot see the kingdom of Christ. And in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, we are told without faith it is impossible to please him. So it doesn't make any difference how many people are dunked in water, whether they're infants or whether they're grown people. If you have been dunked or immersed or had water poured on your head and you don't know why, then you just got wet.
That's it.
And there is order in God's plan to save people. The salvation and to place people in the kingdom, we must be baptized. There's no doubt about that.
Amen.
But there is an order that goes along with it, and faith is one of them. And we talked about that before our last break came along. And now we want to talk about another step that we must take before we ever get into the part about our baptism for the remission of our sins. We must repent.
That's right.
Now, Kerry, that may be the hardest part.
Amen.
Evidently, people don't get a hold of this idea because they want to skip that repentance part, which means that you've got to change. You've got to change from the unrighteousness of the world, whatever that unrighteousness may be, to the righteousness of God. Now, whether it is an unrighteous mode of worship, and we talked about worship, the orderliness of worship, it's got to be according to God's will. And we know God's will because he revealed it to us. And so whether it's repenting from a
from a false worship to a true worship, or whether it's repenting from an immoral lifestyle to a righteous moral lifestyle, according to the Word of God, whatever it is, we must repent. And we know that because Luke chapter 13 and verse 3, Jesus said, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Now, Amen. It doesn't make any difference what if we have faith. It doesn't make any difference if we confess. It doesn't make any difference if we're baptized for the remission of our sins. If we don't repent, we are going to perish. Now, you've got another passage that you'd like to read there along with it to go along with this and help us understand just a little bit better what this repentance is all about.
Well, you know, David, when you think about repentance, it's really that change of mind that leads to a change of action. It's where I mentally, and as David was saying, this is probably the hardest step that we have to go through in our becoming a child of God, because repentance really means that I've got to look into my spiritual heart. You know, and David, also often you hear people or you see people, they'll pat themselves on the chest and say, well, I believe it in my heart. Well, the Bible heart really is your mind.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've got to look into our mind and find those things that are contrary to the will of God. And then we've got to acknowledge that it is contrary to the will of God. But then we've got to change, David.
Right.
We got to change. And Paul wrote, or Paul said in Acts chapter 17, in verse number 30, and the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth. Now, David, did you hear that?
Mm-hmm.
He commandeth. Now, listen, everybody. He commandeth all men everywhere to repent. David, who is left out in that?
Nobody.
Nobody. So if I'm going to be a child of God, it doesn't matter if I live in Africa. It doesn't matter if I live in Taiwan. It doesn't matter if I live in Mexico. It doesn't matter if I live in Timbuktu, you know, wherever it is. If I want to be a Christian, friends, I must examine my heart, find those things that are contrary to the will of God, and I've got to repent of that by changing, acknowledging that as a sin, and making the proper change.
Right. Well, you know, I hate to bring this up again, but it just this just kind of sticks in my craw here. You know, when we were talking about that play, we kept talking about this individual, this director of this play, that kept telling us that he was a homosexual Christian. Where is the repentance in something like that, Kerry?
Yeah.
Where is the repentance? You cannot live in adultery and be right according to God. You can call yourself a Christian all day long, but if you are living in open adultery and you refuse to repent, then you cannot be a child of God. Now, you can be a child of God in error, I guess you could say, but
yeah,
it wouldn't make any difference. You'll be outside of the body until you repent.
Well, David, and we use the illustration of somebody that has a job, you know, that is very obviously contrary to the will of God. If I make my living as a drug dealer,
mm-hmm,
well, I can't say, well, I'm a drug dealing Christian.
No.
You know, I'm a hitman for the mafia, but I'm a Christian.
A murdering Christian.
Yeah. These things are so foreign to one another that anybody, friends, if you're thinking correctly, you cannot say, I am a murdering Christian. I am a homosexual Christian. I am an adulterating Christian. You know, I'm living in adultery, whatever it is. We can't do those things, friends.
You know, you can't walk around claiming that you are a drunken Christian.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm a commode-hugging drunk Christian.
Yeah.
Now, that there's something wrong. These things are diametrically opposed to one
That's
another.
Right.
And this is what repentance is all about. It's turning away,
yes,
from the unrighteous nature of the world and turning to the righteousness that is in Christ Jesus that is revealed to us. And you just cannot do it without repenting. Now, there's another part of this. Getting back to that infant baptism, what does an infant have to repent of?
Exactly.
You don't have to repent of anything if you're an infant. An infant has no sin. And the purpose of baptism is to wash away sins. And you know, yes. when you keep looking at it, every single step along the way will kick out infant baptism, and repentance is absolutely not even required here.
Well, friends, if you and we're not, again, we're not trying to pick on somebody, but if you were baptized as an infant, or maybe you're a preacher that's listening to the radio program, and you've actually baptized infants, we want you to give us a call and show us from the Bible where you have the authority to do that. And the number to call is 254-445-2473. 254-445-2473. Or if you don't want your voice heard on the radio, then give us a send us an email at keqx@rocketmail.com. But friends, we would love for somebody to call and explain to us why you baptize infants.
Mm-hmm.
And we want you to join in on this discussion. And like I say, we're not going to holler at you and beat you over the head. We simply want someone to show us in the Bible where it's right to baptize an infant.
Right.
As David said, it goes against the first step in God's plan, hearing the Word of God. They can't hear and understand the Word of God. They certainly can't believe that Word. And then, as David just pointed out very clearly, they have nothing to repent of.
Absolutely
nothing to repent of.
Nothing at all. There is no sin in a child. And we know that. Again, you know, it's not just because Carrie and I can just say, well, you know, well, there's no sin in a child. We've got scripture that will prove this to us. In Matthew chapter 18, when Jesus was teaching and there were several disciples came to him, and they asked him, said, who's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Again, we're talking about the entering into the kingdom of heaven. Who's going to be the greatest? Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, except you be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Now, what he is telling us here is the humility and the purity and the innocence of this little child is going to be the makeup for the kingdom of heaven. Now, there is only one way that a sinful, rotten, dirty dog like you or me or anybody else could ever get to be in a pure, innocent state is to have our sins washed away in a religious, obedient act called baptism.
That's right.
But we can't do it out of order.
and David, we go back to this thought of how orderly God is in everything he does.
Mm-hmm.
And David, when you stop and you look at it, there is a very logical order to what God is doing.
Right.
How in the world can somebody believe if they've never heard?
They
and that's exactly what Paul said in Romans chapter 10.
Right.
He said, how can they believe except they've heard?
Mm-hmm.
And how can they hear except somebody sent? Romans
right.
chapter 10. So the first logical step is God said, well, you've got to hear the message.
Right.
And then once having heard the message, you believe that message, and that belief leads you to say, you know what? I have been a dirty, rotten rascal,
mm-hmm.
and I need to make some changes in my life.
And by the way, let me interrupt you here just a moment.
Yeah.
When we get to that first step, that belief, that faith that we have, there are many, many, many individuals say, yes, I want to be a Christian. Yes, I want to believe. Yes, I want to obey. Yes, I want to do whatever Christ tells me to do. And then they find out what Christ wants them to do, and they will not repent.
Yeah.
They won't, and this is the logic and the orderliness that he has. Okay, here's what you got to do. You got to believe. Okay,
yeah.
I do believe. Now, the next step is repent. What I got to do? You got to stop doing that.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, no, I just thought I loved you, Lord. I just thought I loved you.
Right. And David, it's interesting. I had a discussion with a young lady. I just got back from Northern Illinois preaching a meeting up in that area. And there was a young lady, 20 years old, responded to the gospel, and we talked about this very thing about repentance and those things that she was doing in her life that were wrong, and how, you know, you need to lay those things aside. And it was just a good study to sit down and see, here's a 20-year-old girl who, very hard life, rough family life. David, I'm seeing that more and more as I preach the gospel. We're raising up a generation, of people that when you talk to them, they talk about how rough their life has been.
Mm-hmm.
And it's sad. But this girl had had some very bad things in her life, and she said, I'm ready to put it all behind me. I want to do what's right.
Right. And it's so refreshing when you hear somebody want to do that.
Yeah.
And, you know, again, if we got enough time, I'd like to just relate this one incident. I was talking to a lady who was saying that she was a Christian, but it came to her attention that she was living in an adulterous marriage.
Mm.
And she had not realized that before because it had never been brought to her attention.
Right.
The teaching that Jesus has in Matthew chapter 9, 19 and verses 9 and following. And when she found out what she had to do, she came back to me and said, I want to repent. I want to go to heaven. And that's the key, Carrie.
That's right.
We've got to be able to have the desire to do whatever it is that causes us to repent. And it's not like a homosexual can't repent. It's not like somebody in adultery can't repent. It's not like somebody who is a drunk can't repent and change their lives. And the logical orderliness of God's plan of salvation is belief and then repentance.
Yes.
And so we've got these two steps out here. And they are absolutely necessary. Both of them kick out infant baptism.
Right.
One of them now has kicked out the one who does not have a desire.
Yes.
And here is one of the absolute necessities to be a follower of Jesus Christ is desire.
Yes.
In Luke chapter 9, we read there about one of the qualifications to becoming a Christian. And he says, if any man will come after me,
mm-hmm.
there's got to be a desire.
That's right.
And then he says, let him deny himself. There's got to be repentance.
That's right.
And so anybody that wants to be a follower, you know, this is nothing new. This is just exactly God's order of things here. We've got to have a desire, and then we've got to deny ourselves. The first two steps in becoming a Christian, Carrie, and that just absolutely wipes out infant baptism, and it wipes out the individual who does not desire to actually want to follow Jesus. Oh, they want to go to heaven.
Yeah.
But they don't want to follow Jesus.
Well, I want to go there. I just don't want to make any effort to get there.
Exactly. Exactly.
You know, David, the next step that God has set out to become a Christian, to become a child of God, to be in the kingdom of God is confession.
Mm-hmm.
Confession. And friends, what we're talking about is not this idea that you go to somebody and they're behind a screen and they can't see you and you can't see them and you say, well, you know, I've done this, this, and this. That's not the confession that is talked about in the Word of God.
I've seen that on TV.
Oh yeah, me too. I've seen on TV too. They'll slide that little thing in there. Friends, we're gonna come back and talk about confession in just a moment, but we're up against another break, and so I want to remind you of the number to call. It's 254-445-2473, 254-445-2473, or send us an email at keqx@rocketmail.com, and we'll see you on the other side of the break.
Brethren, we have met to worship and adore the
Lord. The Pony Express was a colorful part of American history. It ran from St. Joseph, Missouri to Sacramento, California, about 1,900 miles. The trip was made in 10 days. 40 men, each riding 50 miles a day, sped along the trail on 500 of the best horses available. To conserve weight, clothing was light. Special lightweight saddles were used. The mail pouches were thin and light also. Letters were written on thin paper and postage was $10 an ounce. Yet each rider carried a full-size Bible. It was presented to him when he joined the Pony Express, and he carried it with him on every trip. Oh, how we need Bible-toting and Bible-quoting Christians today. The Park Heights Church of Christ is committed to spreading the gospel to Central Texas and beyond by speaking the truth in love. Friends, we would like to invite you to visit our services. We have Bible classes for all ages Sunday mornings at 9:30. Our morning worship services begin at 10:25. Our evening services begin at 6 p.m. on Sunday. And we also have midweek Bible studies on Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. If you would like to contact us, please call 254-386-3953. We meet at 1300 East Boynton Street in Hamilton, and our mailing address is P.O. Box 107, Hamilton, Texas, 76531. You may also visit us on the web, www.parkheightscoc.com. We look forward to seeing you soon.
I come to the garden alone.
The prophet Isaiah said, "The people walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death upon them, a light has shined." Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 2. Years later, centuries later, when the apostles began to preach concerning Christ's church, this same area saw many people become Christians, and we read that in Acts chapter 8. Indeed, the light of Christ's redemption shone brightly. The light of Christ makes a difference in your life. The darkness of sin, you can find the light of His forgiveness. In the darkness of ignorance, His wisdom illumines the way. In the darkness of trials and trouble, His presence dispels the blackness. Whatever darkness threatens to overshadow your life, let Jesus be the light who drives it away. Jesus is the light of the world. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes unto the Father but by me. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that disbelieves shall be condemned." Mark chapter 16 and verse 16. You are invited to come worship with us at the Hillcrest Church of Christ, where the light of Christ is taught. Bible class begins at 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning, with worship following at 10:30. Correspondence courses are also offered. Call us at 254-968-8167. Let us worship the Lord together in spirit and in truth.
Friends, we want to welcome you back to the Harrison Clark Expedition Through the Bible. We appreciate you tuning in this afternoon or this evening, and we want to remind you the number to call is 254-445-2473. I understand we've got some out in San Diego, California listening, and so we appreciate all our listeners on the internet, and I think we may have some up in Illinois that are listening this evening and spread around the world, and we certainly appreciate that. But we're looking at steps to help us become, or keys to help us become, the mighty men and mighty women that God wants us to be. And this evening we're talking about orderliness. And David, we talked about how when you stop and think about it, that's really an unusual key, but not really when you really sit down and start thinking about it. God expects certain order in Christians' lives.
Absolutely.
And even that's demonstrated, David, as we've already talked about, in becoming a Christian. There is a certain order that God has given, and we've already talked about, you've got to hear the Word of God, you've got to believe that Word, you've got to repent of your sins, and we introduced the thought right before the break that you must confess. And we said this confession that we're talking about is not a confession of sin. So many times, David, when I talk to people, and I asked them, going through this plan of salvation, I asked them about confession, and they will almost always say, "Well, I need to confess my sin."
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, "No, that's not, you repent of your sins."
Right.
But notice what Jesus said in Matthew 10 and verse 32. Matthew 10 and verse 32. "Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father, which is in heaven." David, very clearly, we must confess that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. We must confess that He is God. We must confess that He is Christ. and that he is now going to be our Lord and Master.
Mm-hmm.
And David, if we're unwilling to do that, we can't be a child of God.
That's right.
And you go back to the very beginning of our radio program, infant baptism. David, how in the world can an infant confess? How can an infant say, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God?
There is absolutely no way. They can't believe it in the first place. They can't repent in the second place. And they can't confess it in the third place.
That's
and
right.
Even if they could confess it with their mouth, they couldn't believe it because they're not old enough to understand. They have not reached that age of accountability where they can do that sort of thing. I think it's very interesting, that he says, if you'll confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father. But if you deny me before men, I'll deny you before my Father, which is in heaven. And it's very interesting, in the first century, at the time that Jesus made this statement, there and soon after that, there was tremendous persecution. People were killed for being Christians.
That's right.
And there's even mention made of it here by Jesus in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 13, when he talks about, he says, "And you hold fast my name, and you have not denied my faith, even in those days wherein Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you where Satan dwells."
Amen.
And he was a faithful martyr because he did not deny Jesus, nor did he deny the word. And I think it's important that when he says he didn't deny the faith, he's talking about the entire system of the gospel of the faith of our Lord and Savior,
right,
Jesus Christ. So you can't deny the word. You can't have Jesus without his word, and you can't have the word without Jesus.
Well, and Jesus is the word, John chapter 1.
Absolutely. And so when you look at it all of this must be understood in order for the confession to be made.
That's right.
And so we confess not only with our mouth, but then we confess with our life.
That's right.
We live it. A lot of times we might say that we're doing things, but let's see it.
Yeah.
Let's see it. You show me your faith.
Right, right. Well, friends, if you want to join our discussion, the number to call is 254-445-2473. 254-445-2473, or send us an email at keqx@rocketmail.com. You know, David, when you study with people, especially those that have been raised in the religious world, and when I'm talking about that, I'm talking about the denominational world around us today, they would probably amen everything we've said thus far.
Absolutely.
But David, that's not where God ended it.
No, it is not.
God also said, Jesus Christ himself, friends, in Mark chapter 16 and verse 16, said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." David, I remember as a kid this little kids program, and it was one of these kids programs that try to teach you lessons, and they talked about the word and they called it a conjunction.
Mm-hmm.
And they had a little train, and in that little train they would join something together. And they said, that's what "and" does. It joins things together. Jesus joined belief and baptism together. Now, David, I would say that probably, and I don't believe I'm exaggerating when I say this, probably 90% of the people that I've studied with, and we get to this point, they'll say, well, baptism doesn't have anything to do with salvation. Is that a true statement, David?
No, it is not. It is one of the most essential. It is not the most essential, but it is one of the essential steps of orderliness order to get into the kingdom of God. We go back to where we started there, where Jesus told Nicodemus, except you be born again, except you be born of the water and the Spirit, you cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. I don't know how much more clearly you can say that.
Well, you know, and David, I find it interesting, in that discussion that Jesus had with Nicodemus, he begins with baptism.
Mm-hmm.
Very clearly, Nicodemus doesn't get it. And Jesus said, are you a ruler among the Jews and you don't even understand what I'm talking about? And then Jesus goes to John 3 and verse 16 and said, well, you got to believe.
Right.
You know, Jesus started with baptism, but he realized he was dealing with somebody who was so spiritually immature, Jesus had to go all the way back to the beginning and start out with saying, well, just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, the Son of Man is going to have to be lifted up, and you're going to have to believe that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's interesting that our Lord started with baptism in this discussion, and he's dealing with somebody, and he has to go all the way back and say, wait a minute, I guess I got to go back to the very beginning, Nicodemus, and show you, you got to believe first.
Right, right. And if you believe, then you believe in his word as well.
Amen.
And you're going to believe, just like he said in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 13, you have not denied the faith. Well, in that faith, we have already seen about repentance and confession.
That's right.
So if you believe, that's going to be just understood. You're going to confess.
That's
you're
right.
going to repent. That is just something that is absolutely understood. But baptism is the one act of obedience where people want to dig their heels in the ground and say, no, I ain't going to do it.
Yeah. And David, what I find interesting is these other things that we've talked about, you never see the Bible saying you believe into Christ.
Mm-mm.
You repent into Christ. It doesn't say that.
No.
You confess into Christ. It doesn't say that. But it says you are baptized into Christ.
Absolutely.
Now, David, I'm not real sharp, but I understand that a few moments ago when you and I got to the radio station, we were outside the building.
Right.
And then we walked through the door and we went into the building.
Right.
Baptism, according to Galatians chapter 3, friends, Galatians 3 and verse 27, as many of us as been baptized into Christ, we put on Christ. Notice, baptized into Christ. Baptism is that act that puts us into the body of Christ, which is the church of Christ, which is the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God.
Absolutely. And this is exactly what the Bible teaches.
Yes.
Where there's nothing more, nothing less of what we're saying is what the Bible teaches. Now, this act of baptism is that act of obedience, which, if motivated by our belief, motivated by faith, which comes from the Word of God, will put us in contact with the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, that's something that is very important that we understand. The blood of Jesus Christ is what washes away our sins. That is the one thing that cleanses us from sin.
That's
and without right. the blood of Jesus Christ, there will be no cleansing of sin.
That's right.
And the only way that we can do that is through baptism. Now put all of that together, Kerry. Well, Jesus Christ bled at his death.
That's right.
John chapter 19 and verse 34 tells us that a Roman soldier with a spear put a spear in the side of Jesus the Christ, and forthwith came forth blood.
That's
and
right.
water. And blood was shed right there at his death. And then at his death, we read in Romans chapter 6 and verse 3, and the Holy Spirit through Paul asks this as if everybody ought to know it. Now, folks, if you want to call in, we don't have a whole lot of time left, but if you want to get in on this discussion, you need to call in at 254-445-2473. We're talking about baptism and the purpose of baptism, how we get into Christ, how we reach Christ for the application of the blood of Christ. In verse 3, it says, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. Right there is where he shed his blood. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism. And notice also here, we're being buried, Kerry.
That's
right. That's another thing that's very important. That is the mode. It is a burial. It is not a sprinkling. It
that's
is not
right.
a pouring. You don't sprinkle a dead person. And we'll get to that in just a moment. He says, therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death. You bury dead people. That like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should also walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin.
Yes.
Baptism.
And you know, David, you raised an interesting point. You don't bury live people.
No.
In the religious world, and friends, we've got just about 4 minutes left on the program, but if you want to jump in right now, 254-445-2473, or send us an email at keqx@rocketmail.com. But friends, you bury people that are dead.
Right.
You don't bury people that are alive. If the thought that once I believe that I'm a Christian and I am now alive in Christ, then according to the denominational plan, you'd be burying live people.
Right.
And that's not what God said.
No, it's not. And so you've got to get it in order.
Right.
It's got to be in order. I understand we got a caller on the line. Caller, would you give us your first name and your question or your comment, please?
Hi, this is Deborah. I just have a comment. I mean, if you would take the example of a recipe and you have all the ingredients that need to be put in it and the step-by-step instructions, it's no different than salvation. You can't lapse or you can't leave out any ingredients or you won't have the whole package. That was my comment.
Well, very good comment. I got one question to ask you, Deborah.
Yeah.
Can you get out of order in putting these things in?
Generally, you have to go in the order that is listed in the recipe, or it wouldn't be that way in the book.
You are correct. You are correct. We thank you
step
for
one,
that comment.
Step one, step two, step three.
Absolutely.
And I like that in the book.
In the book. In the book.
If you want to cook like Martha Stewart, you get her book. And if you
but
want
don't
to
do everything Martha Stewart does.
That's right. We appreciate that, Deborah.
That's fine.
And if you want to be a Christian, you got to get in the book.
Absolutely.
And do it the way God said.
You better believe it. There is no other way.
And if you want to be a mighty Christian, then you've got to get this order. And David, I know we've spent a lot of time in looking at it this evening, and maybe somebody's saying we're beating a dead horse. But friends, we have got to establish that God has set certain order. And it's wrong for us to snatch something out of order.
It is.
It is.
It is. And it makes no sense, really. I mean, just like you mentioned just a moment ago, if a person can be saved at the point of faith, then there is no need for baptism.
That's right.
If you are saved at the point of faith, then why in the world do you want to be baptized? I mean, there is absolutely no need, because the purpose of baptism is to be baptized into his death, to be baptized into his body, to reach the blood of Christ, to have our sins washed
That's
away.
Right.
And if you're already saved, what is the purpose of baptism? And this is the reason that we have so many people digging their heels in the ground, saying that there is no reason for baptism.
You know, David, I had a study. This has probably been 20 years ago. And this lady, we were studying at work, and we were sitting around the coffee table, and she said, "If you can show me where the Bible says baptism saves me," she said, "I'll be baptized right now."
Mm-hmm.
And I said, "Ooh, I'm glad you said that." So I just got in my Bible and I flipped over to 1 Peter chapter 3, and I read where it says in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 21, "The like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us." And then he says parenthetically, "It's not the putting away of the filth of the flesh," not taking a bath.
Mm-hmm.
"But it's the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ." And she said, "That doesn't mean what you think it means." And I said, "Pray tell, what does it mean?"
Uh-huh.
Yeah. But it says very clearly, baptism doth also now save us.
But not without faith.
That's right.
Not without repentance.
That's right.
Not without confession.
That's right.
Doesn't mean anything. It will mean that you got wet, but now when we do it in the order, when we do it properly, what we find in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 13 is this: "Who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear son." Now that's what we've been talking about all afternoon.
Right.
That we have been translated into the kingdom of his dear son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. Now we just happen to contact that blood in baptism.
That's right.
In baptism. Well, folks, that's just about going to have to wrap up our show. If you intended to call in and you didn't, we're sorry. perhaps you can tune in again next week, and we'll do it again. We are still going to be talking about the importance of the seven steps to spiritual growth, and we might even get to our last step next week, which is decisiveness, and that is very important. And perhaps it is that you're thinking about becoming a Christian, thinking about being a follower of Jesus Christ, thinking that you might have the desire. Now, you're going to have to get decisive about this pretty quick.
That's right.
And that's what we're going to talk about next week, is the decisions that you're going to have to make that will control the destiny of your life. And we want to thank everybody for listening in tonight. And I want to say one last word. God bless America and all those that are listening. Kerry?
Well, I just want to add an amen to what David said. May God bless you as you study His divine word.